Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
What is happening, you beautiful podcast listeners? I hope you're staying safe wherever you are. Right now it's about 30 degrees Celsius outside as I watch the sun beating down on the San Francisco Bay Area of Ireland, which is in an extreme weather warning situation at the minute. Now, considering I don't have fucking air conditioning in my house, which is pretty standard here, means that it gets uncomfortably warm indoors. Add to the fact that I need to record a podcast indoors and everybody's at home, including the dog, and I have to keep the windows and doors closed, therefore to reduce the noise, means I'm feeling rather moist. You know, here, we can't deal with the heat. Whether it's freezing temperatures with our infrastructure and services, or with hot temperatures when it comes to our infrastructure and services. Why is that? Who can we blame? Fucking door slamming everywhere. Who can we blame for that? Who can we blame for this situation? I mean, like, we go through the same stuff basically year in, year out. Now, granted, it might be a record-breaking high temperature year now, which will be blamed as the reason why places have to shut down. But, I mean, you can also pretty much guarantee that in 6 months there could be a record-breaking cold spell that is going to cause places to shut down, causing similar chaos, similar reactions. So why? We need to shift the focus on to something else to complain about, don't we? Any ideas? Anyone? Any ideas? I mean, I guess it'll be Baltic again in a couple of weeks and we'll have the school run and homeworks to complain about before it hits the fireworks and winter Christmas complaint season. We love a good complaint, don't we? I mean, I've probably complained a couple of times here about the heat, about the doors, about the dog, about the house, about the windows and everything. We love to complain, especially about ourselves. You know, I'm fat, I'm shy, I'm sensitive, I'm quiet. I wish I was slimmer, wish I was more outgoing. I wish I was stronger, I want to be stronger. I want to be more resilient. I want resilience in my life. I want confidence. I want to have more confidence. We're complaining. That's what we're doing. We're wanting more, and we're not happy with what we have. Where does that complaining actually get us? Like, if I say, I'm going to try and lose a few pounds, and the first thing out of someone's mouth is, well, you quit drinking for a start, Paul. Like, seriously, Keith? I'm trying to be all realistic over here and shit, but here you are just trying to make out like I'm some kind of crazy maniac. Maybe I could stop eating next. Please, come on. Yeah, I want to lose a few pounds, but I don't want to stop what I'm doing or change what I'm doing. Just said I want to lose a few pounds. Here you are getting all serious and stuff. Throat punch, douchebag. You know, complaining is a choice. Being happy is a choice. Being confident is a choice. You won't just flick a switch and be it, but you can 100% choose it. Life is choice. Being overweight is a choice. Obesity is a choice. Time for some real truth. If I'm overweight, it's my fault. If you're overweight, it's your fault. Why am I being so hard on myself? So hard on you? Because I want us to realize that if we didn't realize that we actually control the current situation we're in, then we can't control the one that we want to be in either. I remember listening to someone in the health industry a while ago discuss emotional eating. And they said that, you know, it wasn't the person's fault that they binged or picked the food that gave them pleasure and subsequently weight gain. It wasn't on them. That it was a habit. The latter part is true. The first part is unhelpful, in my humble opinion. Habitual eating comes down to decisions that we make that we believe we have no conscious control over. Just happened. No. It's happened because we've allowed it to happen. At some point, we let that shit in. Or we didn't deal with it. However, we do have control. We have the control over whether or not we become emotionally involved in the choices that we make. The decisions that we make. What does it mean to become emotionally involved? It means accept the feeling around it when we can make choices without involving emotions. You know, in fact, we actually do it all day long because we have thousands of emotionless choices. But the choices that we feel, choices that we care about, make mean something to us. They are ones we have become mostly involved with. They are the ones that can become habit. And the habit is normally growing through repetition. We have the ability to change the habit. If we couldn't change the habit, then that would suggest we have no control over anything in our life. Like when you were a baby, you didn't have control over your bladder. You hadn't developed the habit of holding it until you could go pee-pee in the potty. So by the very fact we have the ability to change our behavior as a little sprog should give us hope, shouldn't it? It suggests that it was a learned behavior to begin with until we learned a new behavior, i.e. like not to shit our pants. A helpful behavior change too, especially in this heat. Change is a choice. Saying we can't deal with the heat, we can't deal with the cold, who is going to deal with it, Keith? Who is going to save you from it, Keith? I know, Keith, you're getting a hard time today by me, but it was Karen before. So today it's Keith. I'm an equal hard times podcaster. I'm just putting that out there. But if we can change the habit of shirking the ownership of a problem, then maybe we can begin to find the solution. Make it our responsibility to find the solution, which we all know we can. We can find a solution that works for us in any given circumstance. And as adults, looking back and remembering that you learned to stop sharting in your nappy should give you a David Schwimmer of hope. You and I both know there were wild celebrations when you learned how to use a bog properly. We know it. We are fucking remarkable, aren't we? You are remarkable. When we can focus on finding a solution, then we begin to control things like habitual eating and thinking. Yes, I said thinking, not drinking. Although a high non-alcoholic fluid intake is recommended at all times, and more so in warm weather. Stay hydrated, baby. But we can control our emotional eating. We do have a level of control over it. All have the ability to make choices, to control your thoughts, to make choices. And this comes from understanding how we think. When we have little or no understanding of a thing, we have confusion. Confusion, that is just like a breeding ground for germs. Those germs are germs of worry and doubt and fear. And what do we need to kill those germs? If you said domestos, then high five for trying to be funny. But we need fucking clarity, okay? And we gain clarity from understanding, from knowing. When we have confusion about anything in life, we feel worried. When we were worried, we can doubt the outcomes, increase our fear, and easily become anxious. Now, worry is a thought. Fear is emotion. Anxiety is the combination of the thought, worry, and fear, emotion. Felt on a physical level, on a body level, feeling it. Mind-body connection. Doors. If you're hearing doors throughout this podcast, it's because one of the kids is just constantly walking in and out of the rooms. There's another one. It's like, whew, one door closes, another one opens, hey? But mind-body connection. Door-hinge connection. Everything is mind-body or body-mind. Like a two-way radio. Those signals are going back and forth. To understand why you've gained weight. To understand why you're anxious. To understand why you're afraid, whether it's of a gym, new places, relationship, new job, lack of money, you know, anything really. We have to help you understand one thing. And that's you. And we have to understand you at a basic level, core level. What makes you tick and why? If you play a game, you need to know the basic rules. The better you want to get at the game, the more you need to understand and the more you need to learn and practice. If you read a book, you'll know that you're better starting the book reading from the first chapter than from the last chapter. You know that if the book interests you and you want to really understand it and use its concepts and ability to help you, then you'll do more than look at it or read it once. You'll study it, read it several times, repeatedly, make notes on it, do things differently. I want to help people understand the basics of why they have attracted that weight, that health issue, that anxiety, that situation that they don't want. And if it's you, then you have attracted it. It's okay to admit that. It's okay. You're okay. I got you. Admitting you created it shows you have some level of control over your life. If you created it, you can create something different. If you've heard of the law of attraction, then I want to show you how to attract what you want with your mind and body. Your mind controls body. Body does not control the mind, except where we see our body change and make decisions based on that. But still, the mind is in control. The body brought the realization just, the awareness through feeling. To help you get what you want, I have to help you discover the root cause of why you do what you do with eating, exercise, relationships, health, the whole shebang. We got a deep dive into who you are and why you do what you do. Are you fat? No, you have fat, but you're not fat. So there's problem number one, perhaps your perception of who you are. You are not fat, you have fat. Is it your fat? Yes, I assume it is. Unless someone is surgically attached, someone else is fat to you, then it is in all likelihood you're fat. There's no apostrophe in there. So it's not you are fat, it's your fat belonging to you. I love stuff that belongs to me because I know I can get rid of it. Have you ever thought about fat or weight that way? That it's simply something you're in possession of that you acquired, that you chose at some point? Again, unless someone has forcibly caused you to make choices regards food that were not your own. Of course, it can't happen. It's rare though, so I'm not going to be completely insensitive. But for 99.9% of people listening, it's going to be you who created a situation you're in, or who hasn't done enough to change it, or you who can change it. Repeated unhealthy choices that led to fat gain. Awareness around choices makes making choices easier. Not easy, easier. And no, I'm not going to come out with some bullshit statement like you just need to change your thoughts or just do it differently. I'm confident if that kind of shit worked, then you'd maybe have just plugged that system in and hit the play button already. Having fat isn't bad. Having fat isn't wrong. Sometimes you need more cushion if you're pushing. I've been through the lean lifestyle where I was basically obsessed in getting my body fat down so low that I was pretty ripped. Six pack was on display without flex. It was just there. But I gave up a lot to get there. Thankfully, it was only because I wanted to see if I could. I was challenging myself. I wasn't doing it for a photo shoot. I wasn't doing it for a competition. I wasn't doing it to become a PT. I wasn't even a PT at the time, or even interested probably in actually being a PT back then. And it didn't cause me to want to be a PT. I wasn't looking or wasn't doing it to try and fit in with warped views of what a PT should look like. I've had people to tell me. I've had people make comments about, you know, size and muscle and things. Oh, you can't be a PT. Fuck off. All right, help people. That's what I'm here to do. And I mean, thankfully, you know, like I said, thankfully. Why thankfully? Because it was thankfully on two fronts. Firstly, I wasn't doing it so that I felt accepted by people. And secondly, I wasn't doing it to have others accept me. I probably enjoy life's elixirs a little too much now to ever go back down into the six-pack phase. And that's my personal choice. I want to be happy and confident in my body, and I feel that I am. 40 years of age, I drink a few beer, gin or wine. I eat ice cream. I munch on biscuits. I exercise 5 to 7 times per week. I get half decent sleep. I feel pretty good about myself and my body in general. In September, yeah, I'll probably tighten the reins a little. And I'll do that so I get to enjoy the process of doing it, of seeing changes, and then of relaxing again. I like balance, but that doesn't mean I want to sit in the middle of the seesaw. Fucking that's boring. I like balance over the course of a few months or a year, not to have constant equilibrium every day. I think when it comes to shifting fat, we actually get a better response when we work with the seasons. Shifting fat in summer, damn hard. September or December, so September through to December, is my preferred time of the year, followed by probably about February to maybe April, May time. The rest of the time, I like to relax. So these are my choices. What are your choices? And why are they important to you? What I'm going to suggest is that you try to begin to understand what has caused you to make choices in the first place. The mind is pretty much always being triggered by something. It could be something you hear, see, or sometimes smell. Smelling one, bit of a tricky one though, because like say if you walked into Lidl or Lidl, I don't know how you pronounce it. You know, you walk in there, you walk into that store, and you're getting wafted with the smell of freshly baked bread at the very front. Why? Cues, triggers. They want to hit you. They want to get those senses going, so you start, you know, you're in the buying mode straight away. Buy, go in there. Why do you think you come out with so much shit? Why do you think you come out there with a fucking still saw and you went in for a bag of frozen strawberries? Because they've just put you in the buying mode. They are smart. You know, but there's a cue there, not necessarily an inherently habitual emotional one. It's based on a situational response. It's a place response. If there's no little, there's no problem. It's probably not much of an emotional one there, but it does become emotional because you know that some of those breads, cakes, cookies, and so on, you know, they're sweet. And they're going to taste all fine and all sweet and make you feel better at some point, so you best get them in and keep them handy for when you need them. Because, you know, you will need them at some point. After all, you've created the habit of needing them to take away the pain of something. Emotional eating, emotional non-eating, and emotional overeating, it's not fun, really. Yeah, it's fun at the time, sure. Sugar hits, dopamine rush, maybe even a little melatonin thrown in there dispensed by the body there. You know, it's going to help get you a little relaxed, maybe a little sleepy. Hell, there could even be an adrenaline rush, too. So on top of the crappy carbs that you're going to smash through quickly and have you still hungry, your body is also shaking you up an absolute belter, hormone cocktail, to wash them down with. Those crappy carbs don't get washed away though. They're likely the ones that are hanging on, or that you or your partner hang on to. The old love handles, classic identifier of crappy carb choices. Hey, I got them. And look, Keith, I'm not judging you either. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm rocking a pretty groovy, you know, dad bod right now. I'm enjoying those cocktails of hormones, those sugary carbs. And yeah, I'm paying a physical price. But I know that I have choice. And when I make the choice to rein things in again, which, because of where we are in a year, it's probably going to be September, so in about maybe 6 weeks, end of summer, etc. When I make that choice, apologies for sniffing, it's the hay fever. And when I make that choice, I know that I can change the old habit and routine and behavior up. Summer is a habit too. Your behaviors over summer, over Christmas, etc. All habits. But summer is a big habit. You know what? I think I'll actually make that one next podcast around summer, dealing with summer, the days out, the ice creams, the Ryan spritzers for the lads and the half pints for the ladies. Look, just remember what I said, and it's an important concept if you're going to work with me in September, because you are. You're going to come shift out to summer stone. You're not fat. You have some. We're going to get rid of it shortly. But right now, my advice is to enjoy the weather, knowing you can change things up with some action in autumn, and getting you winning in winter. I know, too far with the rhyming words and stuff. I think it's the heat. The sweltering heat making me all delirious and shit. I haven't even cursed as much today. Yeah, I have cursed, like, but not as much. Must be low on fluids or something. Anyway, stay safe out there in the San Francisco Bay Area. Don't forget how we built this city. This city that never sleeps. Until the next one, homies.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.